We've talked numerous times on this show about the well-organized and well-funded campaign to feed fears and hatred of Islam in this country. For many Americans by now, an appearance by Long Island College dropout and blogger Pam Geller in conservative media defending her indefensible anti-Islam posters in the New York, Chicago, San Francisco public transportation systems has a similar effect to the so-called Westboro Baptist Church picketing a military funeral. Dressed in angel costumes, kinder souls block the mourners' view of the heartless protest at funerals, and kinder souls post earnest messages critical of Geller's ad campaigns. Now, going one step further in redefining the dialogue regarding Islam is a new campaign. The campaign's attention-getting title is My Jihad, and its website bluntly sets out the goal of taking back Islam from Muslim and anti-Muslim extremists alike. I want to read for you one more time what I just said. Taking back Islam from Muslim and anti-Muslim extremists alike. This campaign has been endorsed by prominent leaders like Imam Muhammad Majid, president of the Islamic Society of North America. The campaign has appeared on buses in Chicago and San Francisco in recent weeks with plans to expand nationwide. And with me now is the initiator of the independent My Jihad campaign. He is the executive director of CARE Chicago, Ahmed Rehab. Mr. Rehab, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Tell us, how was the My Jihad campaign born?
It was born on Facebook via a Facebook status that I put out, inviting people to join me on Twitter with the hashtag My Jihad to talk about what their jihad is, what their struggle is.
Was there one event that turned your mind around on this and said, I've just got to do this?
Well, there was all this commotion about the anti-Muslim, violently so, Geller ads that were posting up in New York and then in Chicago and in other cities, saying that in a war between the civilized man and the savage, support Israel, defeat jihad. And a lot of the Muslims in the media were talking about savage, and the media was asking us about the term savage. And I wanted to talk about jihad, and members of the media would press me and say, okay, but the savage part, does that not upset you? And my answer was, you know, she thinks I'm a savage, I think she's an idiot, we're even. You know, it's just name-calling. But the real issue for me beyond name-calling is this criminal misuse of the term jihad, this misdefinition that's been going on for so long. And in America, you know, we have a sophisticated, nuanced conversation about almost everything under the sun. We talk about science, when we talk about the military, when we talk about wars or guns or abortion or environment, we bring all these experts and we have all these nuanced, sophisticated arguments. But when it comes to Islam, all of a sudden we devolve in this dumbed-down national conversation that almost looks like a caricature, in which we're talking about Islam like we're a bunch of seven-year-olds who don't know anything about Islamic history or theology, you know, or anything like that. And you bring all these people who are non-experts, it would be like bringing witch doctors to discuss cancer research rather than actual physicians. And that's the way it is when you bring on the Gellers and the Spencers and all of these Islamophobes who are not representatives of the Muslim community, nor are they experts on Islam by any means, and yet they're given platforms to discuss and to explain and to preach what Islam is and isn't. So this campaign was very much about taking the conversation back into a rational space rather than this dumbed-down caricature conversation we've been having. And mind you, the motto that you mentioned, taking back Islam from Muslim and anti-Muslim extremists alike, we acknowledge that there are Muslim minorities who have defined jihad and acted upon that misdefinition in a violent manner, meaning in a terroristic manner, in a manner that targets innocent individuals. We've condemned that up and down. But here's the part that most people don't understand, is that the anti-Muslim extreme, the Islamophobes, as well as these Muslim extremists, agree. So Al-Qaeda, Al-Zawahiri, Al-Awlaki, all of these guys, and Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller and Frank Gaffney and all of these other guys, even though they come from opposite ends of the spectrum supposedly, they agree on the exact same conclusions, on the exact same worldview, that Islam is bloody, that jihad means holy war or terrorism, and that there is a timeless war between civilizations, a clash of civilizations. And we, you and I, Reverend, and our listeners and everybody else, the moderate mainstream, are in the middle, stuck between these two extremes, fighting on both ends. So this campaign is about giving the mainstream a voice to fight back against these two extremes and to reclaim the conversation to the moderate mainstream.
You know, it's exactly what people who are not well informed have been saying that moderate Muslims ought to do. And you're doing exactly what they've been saying, though they've not been aware that there have been other voices already talking about this. I started to ask you, Ahmed, why you decided to go with such a bold statement, but I mean, you've answered the question because isn't it kind of novel that if you want to talk about jihad, that you call the campaign My Jihad? Makes a lot of sense to me. Would you give our listeners some examples of the ads that have gone up in Chicago and San Francisco?
Sure. So as we said, the two extremes have misdefined jihad for so long as terrorism at worst and holy war at best. And mind you, the words holy war, in Arabic, al-harb al-muqaddasa, do not exist in the Quran, in the hadith, the sayings of the Prophet, or in any of the Islamic literature. They're simply not in the inner literature. It's a projection of the Crusades, and that's what the Crusades were, a holy war. Jihad, however, actually means a struggle to get to a better place. When confronted with two choices, an easy choice and the right choice, it's mustering the courage, the faith, the inner strength, to make the right choice and not the easy choice. That is precisely what jihad is. Now, jihad, mostly, the great jihad, as it is described by the Prophet Muhammad, is the jihad against the self, against your own temptations, your own weaknesses, your own internal struggles. And the lesser jihad is the armed jihad, when you have no other option to defend yourself or to bring about justice against injustice, then you may engage in an armed defense, which is a right given to all human beings. But in Islam, it goes above and beyond the accepted universal code of conduct. You can't strike against civilians. You can't strike against unarmed individuals, women, children, senior citizens. You can't strike down against trees. You have to stop as soon as the aggressor stops. So it's only in self-defense to bring about peace as a final option. But having said that, again, let's go back to the greater jihad, which is what most Muslims are involved in. You know, most Muslims are not involved in the lesser, you know, armed jihad on a daily basis. And so this campaign, as you to get to your question, is very much about giving a face and a voice to that daily jihad of everyday Muslims that most people are simply unaware of. So, for example, there is a woman who is raising three children. She lost her fourth child to a rare disease, and one of her remaining three children, may God give them long life, has a similar disease. And so going through that difficulty every day, missing that one child who she lost and, you know, wondering what will happen to the next one, coping with that, fighting with that, you know, moving forward with hope and faith is her jihad. And so, you know, there's a picture of her and her family, and they were holding a picture of the deceased son. And the message on that ad was, "My jihad is to march on despite losing my son. What's yours?" Goodness. So it could be something as serious as this. Could be something like trying to go to the gym and stay fit and take care of your body despite your busy schedule. That was another ad that was there. Building interfaith alliances in an environment in which we're told we're enemies and we can't coexist, you know, fighting uphill against that current by reaching out as a Muslim to Jews or as a Muslim to Christians or to Hindus. That would be a great jihad, and so that was one of the ads. And so it goes on and on with these positive messages of daily jihad Muslim go through.
What kind of response have you received, both from within and beyond the Muslim American community?
Exceptional support from both the mainstream of the Muslim community and the non-Muslim community. The only sort of resistance we have seen has been from the organized Islamophobic networks, you know, the blogs run by Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer and their minions, who have gone berserk trying to sabotage this project and trying to use the hashtag and, you know, emulate our ad design in order to confuse people. Mm-hmm. And rather than have real Muslims saying real things, everyday Muslims, they're put on terrorists like bin Laden, mm-hmm. or the blown up towers. And, they're just very desperate to try to sabotage it. And then the other extreme being, again, within the Muslim community, like Hizb ut-Tahrir and their forums online, dissing the campaign. And it's no surprise to us because, like we said earlier, our motto is taking Islam back from the Muslim and anti-Muslim extreme. So right. The fact that these two groups are precisely the ones who are fighting back against our campaign was pretty much called out by us to begin with. Yeah. But everybody else seems to love it, and that's making us really happy.
Great. Are you still talking about expanding the My Jihad campaign?
Yeah, there's terrific reception and unsolicited support, both financially and in terms of requesting us to go into different cities and even countries. So I do expect the campaign to continue to grow into various North American cities and then to Europe and Australia and Africa. We actually had a My Jihad event in Cairo in which we printed huge banners that stated in the brand colors and message of the campaign, my dear Christian brother, I love you. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you peace. Signed, your Muslim brother. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of a Christian clergyman and a Muslim clergyman embracing. And we had that in Arabic, and we had that in English, and we held these huge signs in front of the church at the Coptic Christmas a couple of days ago. And as the Christians were coming out, they were surprised to see it, and there was a lot of tears and hugs and a great atmosphere of interfaith, you know, love and relationship building. And there was an imam that we are in communication with who visited a church and gave a phenomenal speech. We actually have that on the My Jihad TV YouTube page, which I invite people to watch. Very inspirational video. The reception he received when he walked into the church, the applause and just the great speech he gave about how Christians are equal partners in Egypt to Muslims, and that everybody being Egyptian is equal and we have to move forward as one hand. An exceptional message against any of the extremist voices out there. And Reverend, I got to say that the reason why the extremists have been relevant is not because they've been right, and it's not because they present a tremendously rational argument of sorts, but rather simply because they've been very, very loud.
Yeah.
And so it's all up to us, the moderate mainstream, to not sit on our backsides, to not sit this out in the bleachers, but to come out and to regain the conversation, to be louder, not in the same radioactive, hateful manner, obviously, but loud in the other direction, the direction of love and the direction of peace and the direction of rational conversation. Only when we do that will we be able to effectively sideline the extremists amongst our midst, who, by the way, are part of what I would call the war lobby. The war lobby in America, the war lobby abroad, these individuals eventually want to clash. They want war. It's profitable to them, ideologically, economically, and they're a danger to the world. They're the biggest threat to the world. And they point to us, and they demonize us, the moderates, as Geller and Spencer always do, coming up with these stupid conspiracy theories against us because they want to silence us, because we stand in their way. But they're very dangerous. The war lobby wants bloodshed, and they profit from it.
I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website, myjihad.org. Ponder that mission statement, taking back Islam from Muslim and anti-Muslim extremists alike. Friends, I think we would all benefit greatly from an identical mission statement for a campaign taking back Christianity from extremists or taking back atheism from extremists. I think there's a model here that has potential far beyond one faith tradition alone. The My Jihad ads are up on buses in Chicago and San Francisco. They'll soon be up in a number of other cities. My guest has told us about it, Ahmad Rehab, Executive Director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations in Chicago. And I tell you what, Mr. Rahab, you are an articulate, powerful spokesperson for this campaign. I appreciate what you're doing, and I really appreciate you being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, sir. It takes two hands to clap, and so we're one hand, you're the other. You know, building interfaith relationships between Muslims and Christians and Muslims and Jews and Muslims and atheists and Christians and Jews and every different group is absolutely important in order to not let these extremist voices hijack the conversation. So I thank you for your work and your great radio station.